Hello and welcome to a special in-between episode of the Weekly Stuff podcast with Jonathan Lack, but without Sean Chapman, because he is away this week. He is doing responsible adult things. I don't know what those are, but he could not record our silly podcast this week. And normally that would be fine. We have some things planned that we were going to talk about that we can pretty easily push to next week. We were going to talk about Astral Chain on the Nintendo Switch. We were going to talk about Control on the PS4. That's the new Remedy game. Both really cool new games that Sean and I have been playing that we would like to talk about and review. But we can talk about those next week. It might even be better because we'll have made more progress in both of those games. I'm not quite finished with Astral Chain. But the one thing we had on the docket this week that I thought would be sort of dated if we waited a week and tried to talk about it would be the Nintendo Direct from Wednesday of this week, which was Nintendo's latest event where they talked about all their new games and stuff. And we know, I mean, I really like going through the Nintendo Directs. I wrote up a bunch of notes on them, or on this one, and I really was excited to present it. And you guys like listening to those, I know, because those can be kind of fun to break down. But it would not have been that fun if it was like 2 weeks from now and we had all kind of moved on to the next thing. So I thought, hey, why don't I just record a quick solo podcast just using what I had on the Nintendo Direct, and we can sort of break that down and move on, recap it for anyone maybe who didn't follow the news and just wants to learn about it. And I put up a poll on Twitter, and you guys sounded like you were cool with that idea. So that's what we're going to do today, except it's not quite going to be a solo podcast. I was going to record this alone, but the timing worked out with me and a person all the way across the Atlantic Ocean in Japan. So it's not the Atlantic Ocean, it's the Pacific Ocean. In any case, why doesn't our special guest just introduce himself? Who the hell are you?
Hello, everyone. I'm the special guest. My name is Thomas, and as Jonathan said, I am from, not from, I am in
You're
Japan
You're also my
right
brother.
Yes, there's that too. I've been here before, but never without Sean.
You've been here on the podcast before. Your name is Thomas. You are my brother. And you are in Japan right now. Why don't you tell the people what you're doing over there in the fine island nation of Japan?
So in the fine island nation of Japan, I am teaching English to Japanese people. A lot of people need English for business or for school or for a hobby or something. So there are a lot of these things called Eikaiwa, which are conversation schools for English education, and I'm the foreign teacher in one of those.
So is that a fun occupation?
Yeah, it is, actually. It's, you know, I'd like to think that I'm pretty good at English, so we don't have to do too much, like, hard grammar or anything, mostly just sort of making sure people can be understood. And I have a lot of really great students, so it's a fun job to have. And I'm having a lot of fun in my free time doing some other things in Japan, too. So,
like what? What are the other things?
So recently, I've been to Mount Fuji, and I've been up to Sapporo, which you may know as the final level from Hitman.
I was going to say you might know it from the beer manufacturer. That, I feel like, for most people would be the Sapporo that is on the beer label. But yes, if you are a nerd who listens to this podcast, you might know it from the final level in Hitman. How many people did you murder at a hospital when you went to Sapporo?
So the problem was I didn't have time to go to a hospital, so I didn't have time to murder anyone, actually.
Not even one person?
No people. I think I might have killed a few bugs while I was up there.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's not that exciting, though. What was Mount Fuji like? I'm sure everyone listening has seen Mount Fuji in pictures and stuff. It's in the logo of several Japanese movie companies. But what was it like? You climbed the whole mountain, right?
Yeah, so it's a volcano, for those of you who don't know. But it's the tallest mountain in Japan. It's 3,774 meters tall or something. I don't remember exactly, but basically, the way it works is you can take a bus about halfway up the mountain, and then you have to walk the rest of the way. So they have it split into these 10 stations, and the fifth station is the one you take the bus to, and then you climb up to the 10th station, which is the summit. And that climb took about 7 hours. It was kind of difficult, but it was really fun. There's a lot of like benches on the way up, so they want you to rest a lot so you don't get altitude sickness. And the way I did it, which is what a lot of people do, is I sort of started hiking in the evening, and then they have these mountain huts on the way up where you can sleep for the night. So I slept for only about 3 hours. And then I continued up really early in the morning so that I could watch the sunrise from the summit, which was really beautiful. If you ever get the chance to do that, I would highly recommend it.
Fun. Okay, before we move on, maybe we'll do more Japanese stories at the end, but why don't you just hit us with one random fun fact about Japan? I might have to ask about a couple of these over the course of the episode, but what's one random fun fact?
So you mentioned Sapporo beer earlier, which reminds me, the drinking culture in Japan is, well, people drink a lot here. And oftentimes it's expected that employees will drink with their bosses. So they come to, they come to my English school the next day and they say, I don't feel good because I had to go drinking with my boss last night.
That is fun. You can actually, this is a plot of many Japanese movies. I think it is the Ozu film Equinox Flower, I want to say, has a really, really good subplot about an boss making his employee drink with him, and there's some very funny stuff there. So, anyway, because that guy's life gets kind of fucked up by the drinking.
Yeah, a lot of people are very heavy drinkers here.
Well, that's fun. All right,
yeah, but it's let's not go ahead sad. And move.
Yes. Okay. So, but a couple quick pieces of housekeeping before we just talk through the Nintendo Direct. First off, we will have a full podcast this week with Sean and I, and that is the next episode of Weekly Suit Gundam. We are doing, we're releasing Weekly Suit Gundam number 9. This is the episode where we talk about Char's Counterattack, the movie from 1988, and the end of the original saga of Mobile Suit Gundam, of the original three shows, Mobile Suit Gundam, Zeta, and Double Zeta, and then Char's Counterattack. It's a momentous episode of Weekly Suit Gundam. We had a lot of fun recording it. We kind of had that one in our back pocket for a rainy day. This week we didn't have a full podcast, so we're putting it out. But I know not everyone listens to the Gundam podcast because not everyone is obsessively watching every single episode of Gundam with us. So that's why we're doing this little Nintendo thing this week as well, because I don't want people to just be stranded with only Gundam. We're trying to have a little balance here. But, you know, if you're not following along with the Gundam podcasts, they are a lot of fun. And the YouTube versions, you should watch the YouTube version of Char's Counterattack, that podcast this week, because it introduces our new logo for Weekly Suit Gundam and our new sort of permanent Weekly Suit Gundam theme song, which I think is a cool video thing I found and then put together some stuff with. So there's some fun stuff there. And of course, it is now a standalone podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. So please listen, subscribe, rate, and review. That would be really great. And of course, we will hopefully be back with a full episode 299 next week, where with, like I said, reviews of Astral Chain and Control and a couple of other things. And then episode 300 is coming. It'll be by the end of the month, I am pretty sure. And we have several fun ideas for that one. So I'm really excited to get there. But for now, let's go ahead and talk about the Nintendo Direct. And Thomas, you were a good person to ask to talk with me about the Nintendo Direct because you watched this. You always watch the Nintendo Directs. You have a Switch. You're a big Nintendo fan, right?
Yeah, I like Nintendo stuff. They've had a really fun year. So, well, there might be a few too many games now, but I'm really excited for a lot of the stuff they announced.
Yeah, that's pretty much everyone's reaction at this point. So yes, let's go through. I've got details on everything that was in the Nintendo Direct, and we will go ahead and break these down. I guess first off, just overall reactions to this Nintendo Direct. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was necessarily one of their best ones ever, but it definitely had a shit ton of stuff in it. This was definitely the most port-heavy Nintendo Direct of all time. Like, so much old stuff coming to the Switch. But I sure didn't hear anyone complaining, because it's all old stuff I think people would like to have on the Nintendo Switch. Not a ton of huge surprises, necessarily, but I thought it was a decent one. What did you think, Thomas?
Yeah, I thought so, too. The way that Nintendo's, this year especially, the way they've had games just sort of releasing constantly, I honestly forget the things they've already announced. So even as I was watching the Nintendo Direct, it was like everything seemed new and flashy to me, even the ports that they had already announced. So yeah, I'm really excited. There are a lot of games I don't have time to play.
Yep. Well, let's go ahead and go through these and see what we want to play. They started the Direct with something that had actually leaked earlier in the week, so this was kind of an open secret, but that was Overwatch from Blizzard coming to the Nintendo Switch. It is coming on October 15th, 2019. Coincidentally, the same day as Witcher 3. I think Witcher 3 and Overwatch are two games that, on a technological level, you would have thought in 2017 would never come to this system. They are both going to be there the same day now. Overwatch is being ported by the same studio that did the port of Diablo 3 and Skyrim, both of which are phenomenal ports for Switch, so I would expect the best from this. It sounds like there were interviews after the Direct. It's going to be running at 900p docked and 720p undocked, which is pretty good. Obviously, that's the max resolution for undocked, so that's great. And it's at 30 FPS instead of 60, so they did have the frame rate. That does not strike me as something that would be crippling for Overwatch the way it would be for some games. So I'm definitely looking forward to this. Overwatch is great. It being on Switch kind of terrifies me because it is an addictive fucking game. What do you think, Thomas? I know you and I have both played a lot of Overwatch in the past.
Yeah, I really like Overwatch. I haven't played it in like a year or so, but I am really excited for it to come to the Switch. I don't know if I'll buy it right away. I'm glad it's not a full $60, but it's always fun to have more multiplayer games, especially on Switch. So I'll probably pick it up eventually. And I watched Digital Foundry had a little video about it like yesterday or something about the technical performance that they saw. So it looks pretty good. I'm excited to play it again.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah. Yes, I will probably wait for a sale as well, especially because I kind of do want to get the Witcher 3 port that's coming out that day, mostly just because I want to see that port with my own two eyes. But yes, the Overwatch, this is the Legendary Edition of Overwatch, which comes with a bunch of like skins and stuff. I also should mention it comes with 3 months of Nintendo Switch Online for free, so little bonus there for people who do not have Nintendo Switch Online or just need some extra of it. So moving on, Shinya Takahashi from Nintendo was our guide for the Direct, so he came out to introduce the first batch of kind of rapid-fire Switch headlines. The first of those was a reminder about Luigi's Mansion 3, which we already knew was coming October 31st, so it's arriving on Halloween, which will be a fun day to spend your Halloween. And this video showed off specifically how every floor of the hotel in the game has a distinct theme. So there was like a pyramid floor with a bunch of sand, a dance hall floor with neon lights. My favorite, I think, was a pirate-themed restaurant floor, which looked like one of those like kitschy American restaurants that you would used to find in malls, but now is like a big Mario level. I gotta say, I'm not a Luigi's Mansion person. I have not played the other two. I've played the first one back in the day on GameCube a little bit, but never to completion. This game looks fan-fucking-tastic, and the different themes might have sold me on this more than any other ad for this game. You, Thomas, have played both Luigi's Mansions. Are you excited for this one?
Yeah, I am. This is another game I don't know if I'll get at launch. But I played the first Luigi's Mansion a lot. I really love the first one. Dark Moon, or Luigi's Mansion 2, as it's known here in Japan. It didn't grab me quite as much. I did finish it eventually, but it looks like 3 with all those different themes, like you said. It looks like it's going to be really fun. And it looks like the gameplay's, you know, sort of in the same vein, really sort of unique take on ghost hunting. So yeah, I'm excited to play it eventually. You know, in the middle of October, I might still be playing Dragon Quest.
There is a lot of stuff coming out, so yes. Then they went on to show off more of the Trials of Mana remake. This one has a little bit of a convoluted history. Trials of Mana is the third Seiken Densetsu game, so the sequel to Secret of Mana that was released in like the mid-90s on the Super NES, never came over to the United States other than in fan translations. That's the game that at E3 this year was officially released in the West for the first time in the collection of Mana for the Nintendo Switch. So it got this is very rare, an old SNES game that got an official English localization 20 years after the fact. That came out on Switch. You can go get that now. They even just put out the physical release of that. This version of Trials of Mana is the big 3D remake. And I gotta say, we did not see much of it last time they talked about this, but we saw more of it here. It looks amazing. Very, very beautiful. Big RPG. Trials of Mana is sort of a legendary game. It was really beloved even before it came here officially, and it sounds like people who discovered it in the collection of Mana loved it. I would like to play it. I have not had time to get to it yet, so one way or another I will, because it is coming April 24th, 2020, and that one, I should say, is also on the PS4 and Xbox One, so that's coming from Square. I don't know if you know anything about this, Thomas.
I know nothing about the Mana series, so I'm glad you
all right
told me.
Yes. Then they showed off an indie game, Return of the Obra Dinn, which was a big indie hit last year on the PC, and it's coming to Switch in the fall. It is the second game by Lucas Pope, who became famous for Papers, Please. I'm a big Papers, Please fan. I did not love Return of the Obra Dinn. I did play it. I think it's... I found it more sort of conceptually interesting than I did enjoyable to play. But a lot of people really loved it. And maybe I'll give it a second look on the Switch. I'm very curious how it'll work without a mouse and keyboard, because it was not the most, like, in-depth controlled game. But, you know, that kind of game always has some kind of adjustment to do, because it certainly didn't have controller support on PC, I don't think. But it's a very interesting game, so I'm sure many people will discover it. And I believe it's also coming to PS4 and Xbox One. It debuted here, and then I think later they said it's coming to everything, which would make sense.
Yeah, seems cool. I never played Papers, Please, but I like the title. Return of the Obra Dinn, that's pretty cool.
It's about an old ship. And you go through and you are basically trying to figure out what happened to all the dead people on it.
Yeah, it actually, the trailer they showed reminds me of this level in Dishonored 2, where you can, like, look at things in the past and go back. So I might play it eventually, especially if it's supposed to be a shorter game. But
it is definitely a shorter game, and it does have, like, Dishonored 2, Titanfall 2 were the two games from, like, 2016 that both did time manipulation levels.
Right.
And Return of the Obra Dinn is a full time manipulation game. That's the whole conceit of it.
Yeah, the premise seems awesome.
Then they said a small town with a big secret, and that is Little Town Hero they were showing off, which is the new name for the Game Freak RPG we had heard about all the way last year, I think, that was just called Town. It is now called Little Town Hero. This is the one where it's the RPG that takes place entirely in a single town. They showed off the battle system a little bit in this trailer, though I was not sure I understood what was going on. The graphics were very nice, a lovely looking game, and I think the most interesting detail they gave was the music was composed by the creator of Undertale, the beloved indie game, Toby Fox, who was mentioned several times in this Nintendo Direct. Undertale, obviously, on Switch now. It got a little bit of Smash DLC later on. So, yeah, that's kind of cool that they got Toby Fox to do that. It's coming out October 16th. I still think this game definitely looks interesting. Game Freak does not do non-Pokemon stuff that frequently. So, I'm curious about this. I don't know if I need it in the middle of October during Gamageddon, but there you go. Little Town Hero.
Yeah, I have the same thoughts, basically. Seems interesting.
All right, then.
Probably not.
Yeah, then we had the big Smash Brothers block of the Nintendo Direct with Challenger Pack 3, which we already knew was going to be Banjo and Kazooie from the Banjo Kazooie series. And they said that's coming today. So now that we're recording this, we've actually all played Banjo Kazooie in Smash because it came out a couple hours after the Direct. After the Direct, they also did a video about the fighters with Masahiro Sakurai. And it was a hilarious video if you did not watch it, because he's doing it all on his own as usual, but the camera crew, or just the other people in the office who are behind the camera, are laughing a lot because he does things like say, Banjo-Kazooie is a really great game. It's not on any modern platforms except the Xbox One, where it was recently re-released as part of the Rare Replay Collection. So if you want to play it, you should go play it on Xbox One, which made everyone laugh. And I have to say, I did not think a couple years ago that we would just have Masahiro Sakurai telling people to go play an old Nintendo game on Xbox. But here we are. So we got Banjo and Kazooie and their stage, which is based on sort of the original hub world from Banjo Kazooie. Gorgeous stage. I think the fighters are really cool. I've had a lot of fun with them. They, I think, are a little more intuitive to play as than the other DLC characters so far, certainly more so than Hero, who is kind of a puzzle to put together. But Banjo-Kazooie, it's a great fighter. It feels like he's been there forever. Obviously, a very obvious fit for Nintendo, being classic N64 characters. And I even went out this week and bought myself a copy of the Rare Replay Collection for Xbox One so I could do Sakurai's bidding and play a little bit of a Banjo-Kazooie. And it is indeed a great game. I have not had time to play more than like the first level or two, or first stage. It's actually very similar to Mario Odyssey, and it's these big stages you go around and kind of complete objectives however you want to do them. So I will certainly talk about Banjo-Kazooie more in the future, because I want to play those games now, since I have never made myself play them before. But yes, we got it. We got a bunch of music for Banjo-Kazooie. Grant Kirkhope himself did a bunch of the remixes, which is awesome. Sakurai had a little joke about how he's never worked with any non-Japanese composers on Smash Brothers, so he was a little worried about working with an American just because of the language gap, but he said it was a fun process, and you can hear it, because the music is very good. You've played a little of Banjo-Kazooie now too, or the fighters in Smash Bros. Thomas, what did you think about all this?
Yeah, so They remind me a little bit of the Duck Hunt fighter in Smash Bros. That you have sort of like a big dog-like thing and another smaller thing that's kind of a bird, but
Well,
less
Kazooie
annoying
is
to
a
play
bird.
as.
Banjo is a bear.
Yeah, but you know, a dog is just a small bear, so that's fine.
Okay, yes, definitely.
Yeah, I think they're fun to play as, like you said, a little more intuitive than Joker and especially more intuitive than Hero. Yeah, I think the stage is really fun too. I love how just vibrant the colors on all the stages have been, especially the DLC ones. They've been really stylish. You know, not as
They
stylish as
definitely have
Mementos,
been.
of course, but yeah, really creative. I love the music too. I listened to some of that yesterday after I was playing a little bit. So yeah, I've never played the games either, but I really enjoyed playing as the fighter, so that's cool.
Yeah, it's a great fighter. The stage also kind of gets all the benefits of one of the moving stages in Smash Brothers while having a stationary platform so you won't get fucked up. So it's a really neat stage. And yeah, I think the Duck Hunt comparison, he feels more usable than Duck Hunt to me. I've never really liked Duck Hunt, but it is
Same.
obviously it's kind of two fighters in one. And one of the really fun things is if you play Banjo's classic mode, it is you're fighting other duos. So it's things like Rosalina and Luma, Duck Hunt, other fighters who are sort of two people in one, Ice Fight, Ice Climbers, and then near the end they run out of those, and so it's other like duos like Mario and Luigi or something. So it's a very fun classic mode, and I enjoyed that a lot.
I should try that.
Yeah. So that was what we I think all we thought we were going to get from Smash, but then they started a mysterious video that went through the entire Nintendo hardware timeline like as a vertical scroll, and then it jumped up to the Super NES and then went boom and went jump to the left to show from the Super NES like same time to show the Neo Geo, which was I think the PC engine in Japan, but we got it as the Neo Geo over here. And then all in the style of a Neo Geo game, so like 16-bit pixel art, they showed an invitation to Smash, and it went through a bunch of the worlds from different SNK games. SNK being the company that's famous for a lot of their Neo Geo fighters and other games. And it went through all the different fighters, all going after the invitation envelope, and it ultimately ended up in the hands of Terry Bogard, who is the star of the Fatal Fury series and then the King of Fighters series. And it's coming in November 2019. He will be the fourth fighter, Terry Bogard. And yeah, I am not super knowledgeable about SNK. I think, Thomas, you had not heard of it at all.
No, I couldn't even remember the name of the game, and even just now I already forgot the name of the new fighter. So yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, SNK certainly has some popularity in America. It's more popular in Japan and especially in Latin America, I have learned researching this. Like, apparently Brazil is super into the King of Fighters, and there's a lot of Brazilian Smash fans who are very happy this week, which makes sense because you've got the Dragon Quest Hero for Japan, you've got Banjo and Kazooie for America. Why not give something to our Latin American fans down south? And yeah, I think this is cool. It certainly promotes some video game history because the SNK fighting games are really important to game history. History, and there's a lot of cool stuff there. And it actually has a pretty significant Nintendo Switch collection because, in the first year or so of the Switch, alongside all those arcade classics that came out for Nintendo games, there was a big group of classics for all of the different SNK fighting games. So, like, pretty much every version of King of Fighters that has pixel art, like, you can get onto the Nintendo Switch, you can get all of the original Fatal Fury games, you can get a bunch of different SNK games with their like arcade and console variations. So if you want to go try Terry Bogard and some of the other SNK characters just on your Nintendo Switch, there are a dozen different options. It's kind of dizzying how many of these games they did wind up porting to Switch. So I think he is totally at home here. It makes sense in the same way like Ryu and Ken do. Some people who are more into SNK than I am kind of suggested there were probably more adventurous picks they could have done. And that's probably true, but Terry would definitely be like, if you picked one SNK character, he would be the obvious one, the same way Ryu was when they went to do a Street Fighter character. So makes sense. It's a different kind of fighter than we've had in the DLC so far, at least. That is planned November 2019. And then this, I honestly thought, was the most exciting Smash Brothers news, which is that they have decided to extend the DLC timeline for Smash Ultimate, which means that we were planning on doing just 5 fighters. That's in the initial, like, Season 1 Fighters Pass. But they will now be doing more than 5. They didn't give details beyond that, like how many there will be, what the pricing model will be. But the DLC has been so phenomenally good for Smash Ultimate so far. I am very happy to keep the train rolling, and maybe we'll get some, you know, like, fan-demanded characters, maybe from Nintendo, maybe from outside Nintendo. Maybe we can finally get Goku, Sakurai? Can we use some of that Smash Bros. Money and get us some Goku and Smash Bros.? I don't know, but we'll get more DLC, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, since Sean's not here, I feel like someone needs to say, put Goku in the game.
And then I'll play. It would be, put Goku in the game, you fuckers, or something, is how he would say it.
Oh, I thought he'd, well, you know. I'm not as mean as Sean.
Fucking Smash Brothers is how Sean would say it, I think. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. They showed off some more of Link's Awakening, did a basic overview of stuff we already knew, including chamber dungeons, amiibo support, etc. Nothing new. It was just a little reminder. Hey, this is coming out September 20th. Yeah. And
it's available for preload now, too.
It is. Awesome. So, do you have it preloaded on your Switch, Thomas?
Not yet. I'll do that sometime this week, probably.
Are you excited for it? I mean, you're the big Zelda fan here.
Oh, yeah, of course I'm excited for it. It looks, you know, it looks beautiful. They showed it off a little bit at some expo a few weeks ago, and it looks like a lot of the frame rate problems are a little better now. So, yeah, I'm really excited to play it.
When it was at E3, it had frame rate issues, but yeah.
But then they showed it at PAX, yeah. They showed it again, yeah. So, yeah, I'm really excited to play it. I just finished playing A Link to the Past to get ready. Yes,
you played A Link to the Past right before the news that A Link to the Past would be on Switch. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
That's too bad. Yeah, I'm planning on playing A Link to the Past again, too, just because I love it, and it'll be a nice warm-up for Link's Awakening, which is one of my favorite Zelda games.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
I'm very excited for the music of Link's Awakening. It sounds beautiful.
Oh, it looks so good. We also got a reminder about Dragon Quest XI S. We know it's coming September 27th. There's a free demo already out. They did show off the free DLC everyone's getting on launch day, which has consumables, more music options. I think you can use the Dragon Quest VIII overworld theme if you want to. Costumes, things like that. So that's awesome. Dragon Quest XI is one of the best games of the decade, so you should play it when it comes out.
Yeah, I'm very excited to play my first Dragon Quest game.
Yes, I have already convinced you to give it a try, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right, and then they had a mysterious headline, more Fire Emblem goodness awaits in Tokyo. And for a second I'm like, wait, what the hell is that? And then I typed in all caps, oh shit, Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE is coming to Switch. This is, if you are not familiar with this weird-ass game, it is the Atlas Fire Emblem crossover from the Wii U. This one has a crazy history, because I believe this was announced alongside the Wii U all the way back in 2012, I think, because the Wii U launched in 2012. I think it was also announced that year. And there was, in that like original E3 or Direct or whatever, there was a Shin Megami Tensei X Fire Emblem logo. And we knew nothing more than that, that Shin Megami Tensei, the Atlas people, were teaming up with Intelligent Systems to use the Fire Emblem license in something Shin Megami Tensei. No one knew what it would be. And nobody predicted the final game would be an RPG, like, idle simulation game with rhythm game elements where you play as, like, an idol going around doing song shit in Tokyo. I have not actually played this game. By the time it finally came out on the Wii U was pretty much dead, and I sort of missed it. But it was beloved by those who played it, and now it is finally going to get its day in the sun on Switch all these years later. The new port is called Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE Encore, and it is coming out January 17th, 2020. You can actually already preload it, so it's done. They made the game. It's gold. They're just waiting until January to put it out, which is probably smart, because I do not have time before January. But I do want to play it. It has very minimal Fire Emblem elements, just so everyone knows. Like, the way it is like, you can do summons of Fire Emblem characters like Crom. And beyond that, I actually don't know what they do. Maybe they dance with you. There's dancing in this game. It's a weird game, but more people will discover it. The cover art is really fucking good.
Yeah. I'm really excited for it for nothing else than the title. I'm just impressed that they put the the pound sign in the title, and you have to know that that means sharp to read the title correctly, which also makes finding the game online difficult because it looks like Tokyo Mirage Sessions hashtag FE or something.
Yeah, no, I think I did not. I'd forgotten that it was supposed to be read sharp. I don't, because I do not. I think more in hashtags than in music. You're the musician. So there you go.
I just think that's awesome. They fucking put the sharp symbol in there.
It's a crazy thing. All right. Then a headline said, "Welcome back to where nothing is what it seems." And they showed off Deadly Premonition 2, A Blessing in Disguise. And I wrote in my notes, "I don't know what this is. Am I supposed to know what this is? It's available in 2020. The first game, Deadly Premonition Origins, will launch later today on Switch. Was that a thing?" Yeah, I do not know what Deadly Premonition is. I'm sure someone will tweet me and tell me what Deadly Premonition is. Normally, Sean knows these things. When there are gaps in my knowledge, Sean can fill them in. He's not here. I have no fucking idea. It's a mystery with ghosts. I don't know. People were kind of excited about this, so there you go.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know anything.
Okay. They also showed off Divinity Original Sin 2 Definitive Edition coming to Switch. A couple cool features in this one. It supports cloud save shares between Steam and Nintendo Switch, which is cool. Divinity Original Sin 2 is the game that's by the developers who are going to be making Baldur's Gate 3. And I know people were excited about that because people really love Divinity Original Sin 2. So I might have to check this out sometime. It looks cool. Then we got a message from Bethesda. Pete Hines from Bethesda was out to announce Doom 64, which is being re-released for the first time ever since its initial launch in 1997. It is going to be on Nintendo Switch, and from what I can tell, Switch exclusively. It is not coming to PS4 and Xbox One, at least at launch, and it is coming November 22nd, which means, given that Doom, Doom 2 Hell on Earth, and Doom 3 all came to Switch and the other consoles a couple months ago, that... And we have Doom 2016 on Switch already, and Doom Eternal is launching day and date on Switch with the PS4 version, that by the end of 2019, every single Doom game will be available on the Nintendo Switch, and only the Nintendo Switch, because Doom 64 is seemingly not coming to the other systems. That is fucking crazy. We had one Doom game on Switch at the beginning of 2019. We will soon have six.
Yeah, that's
Doom
really
64
cool.
Also... Yeah, it's so cool. It's that's an acclaimed Doom game. People really like it, but it's been generally obscure. I think a lot of people, myself included, for a while until I looked into it, thought it was the port of Doom for Nintendo 64, but it's not. It's a completely original campaign. The port they showed off for Switch looked really gorgeous, really like cleaned up and like clean pixel sort of art. So I'm very excited to play that when it comes out. And there's a lot of Doom coming in our immediate future. A lot of Doom.
I'm just so glad that Bethesda has completely fallen in love with the Switch.
Yeah.
It's too bad that some of their bigger games can't come over, like Fallout 4, or presumably Starfield won't be able to, like, cross over to Switch. But I just love that they're committed to putting games out.
I'm surprised they haven't tried to do Fallout 4 yet. I mean, maybe they're having internal discussions about it, but it feels like
If they can do Witcher 3, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Then Pokemon was up. Pokemon Sword and Shield obviously got a little showcase. They decided to hone in on four features. The first feature was customizing your look. You can now do tops, bottoms, gloves, hairstyle, makeup, etc., skin color, eye color, and you can trade it all out, and it's just a much more robust character customization than they've ever had in these games. Number two was Pokemon Camp, which is where you hang out with your Pokemon in your little camp, and you interact with other players' Pokemon if you're in the wild region. Number three was curry on rice, because in Pokemon Camp, there's also a big cooking minigame, kind of reminded me of like Final Fantasy 15 or something like that, where you cook curry for your Pokemon, you collect ingredients, you play a little cooking minigame. It can only be curry, you have to make them curry, you can make lots of different kinds of curry, but it does have to be curry, and you even get a curry dex, which records all the different kinds of curry you can make. And finally, they showed off two new Pokemon, one of which has the best bad Pokemon name I've ever seen, and that is Poltegeist, spelled P-O-L-T-E-A as in T, and then Geist, G-E-I-S-T, as in Poltergeist. And so it is a Pokemon with a body made of like wet gelatinous tea held inside of a chipped teacup, and it is so awesome and terrible, and I fucking love it. And then they also showed Cramorant, which is a flying water Pokemon that looks like a blue seagull. But it has a really cool move where when you use Surf, it comes out of the water with a big fish in its mouth, and it can fire the fish at other Pokemon, and it's called Gulp Missile. I have to say, reading all that out, I genuinely don't understand why people are so upset about Sword and Shield. The game looks fucking gorgeous, and they're doing all these weird, wacky things with it. This is one of my most anticipated games of the year. I think it looks amazing.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it. You know, there was this thing going around like, you know, the game has the curry decks, but no national decks. And I think that's really the only reason people are upset, but I don't care. You know, I think Sean was mentioning, like, actually, the example you guys used a few months ago was Zigzagoon, which I think is actually in the game.
Zigzagoon is in the game. Although he looks cool now, yeah, because it's an Alolan Zigzagoon who's like, or Galar, some kind of new Zigzagoon, who's like charred and black and dark, and he's got a cool, like, dark fur. He looks awesome now.
Like, yeah, Zigzagoon, this is like up. Zigzagoon for the new generation.
But they should put that on a poster.
Yeah, that's going to be the next Pokemon movie. It's going to be Mewtwo versus the new Zigzagoon.
Yes.
I'm number actually 151 really excited.
Versus number, fuck, no, I don't know.
Fucking 912 or something, yeah. I'm really excited for the clothes customization, because I think the first Pokemon game with clothes was X and Y. And I liked that because you could sort of dress, like, classy. Not like you couldn't wear a tux, but, like, you could wear, like, some good clothes. But then in the game since then, like, what was after that? Sun and Moon, you could customize your clothes, but you had all these, like, crappy Hawaiian clothes to wear, and I didn't like any of them.
It was all very themed.
Yeah, so I'm glad they have more variety in this one for customization. And I'm surprised that this is the first one where you can, like, change your hairstyle.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And also, you might not remember this, but in XY, Sun, Moon, and the Let's Go games on Switch, you could do clothes, but they had like a text box that said, this is like the nice hat. But you had to put the hat on to see what the hat looked like. You couldn't do any previewing. So you would have to like get the haircut or do the hat and then just be like, do I like it? Do I not? And then change it. And it was very cumbersome. Now there is clearly like it's like a normal game. You can just try things on and you have a wardrobe.
Yeah, so, I like, all right. That's especially, Pokemon. Yeah. I'm excited to play with them at camp. I'm just excited to play with my Pokemon at camp.
I know, it looks really fun. Then Takahashi came back out to talk about Nintendo Switch Online, and we finally got it. They are adding Super NES to the Nintendo Switch Online service. Yay! They showed off several games. I'm going to give you the full list in a minute. It has a rewind function built in, just like the Nintendo Switch, or the Super NES Classic, although it's more convenient because you don't have to reach over to the physical console to use it. It has 20 games at launch. They launched it tomorrow from the Direct, which was now a few days ago. They launched it Thursday the 5th, so we've all now had time to play it. They also announced that they are going to do a special wireless Super NES controller, very similar to the wireless NES controllers they did last year. Those will be $29.99 a piece for Nintendo Switch Online members. Those have not gone on up for pre-order at the time of this recording, but I am definitely looking forward to that because I love the SNES controller. I can plug in the ones I have from the SNES Classic wirelessly through this adapter I have, but it's, you know, takes a little work to get that working, and I'm excited to have just this native SNES controller that you can kind of use both in these games and in other collections. It's going to be really cool. So yeah, it's out. You can get it if you are a Nintendo Switch Online member. It's a very similar app to what they did for the NES. So that also means that if you're a Nintendo Switch Online member, you can just go into the Japanese eShop and download the Super Famicom version of this, so you can play all the games in Japanese, some of which have big differences. Like, I learned this week, Super Mario Kart in Japanese has Peach and Bowser, if they win, they just open a bottle of champagne and chug it. And it's fucking crazy, if you've never seen that.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that before, but I haven't tried the Japanese one yet. I should do that.
Yes. So you can do that. Here's the full list of games they did on day one. You have Brawl Brothers, Breath of Fire, Demon's Crest, F-Zero, Joe and Mac 2, Kirby's Dream Course, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Pilot Wings, Star Fox, Stunt Race FX, Super EDF, Earth Defense Force, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Mario Kart, Super Mario World, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, Super Metroid, Super Puyo Puyo 2, we'll talk about that in a second, Super Soccer, Super Tennis, and Super Zelda, A Link to the Past.
Yes, gotta love that Super Zelda.
Yes. Love so you have 20 games. really not many clunkers among them. Like, there's a lot of lesser known games, but some of these lesser known ones have real fan bases, like Stunt Race FX. I've been recommended already by several people Demon's Crest, which is a really cool game, apparently, that's set like in the Super Ghouls and Ghosts universe, but it's sort of like a Metroid style game. That sounds neat. Brawl Brothers, I jumped into, and it's like Super NES Streets of Rage, which I found kind of funny. So yeah, it's a nice lineup of, I think, what you would expect to have. Like, the big three are there, which is Mario World, Super Metroid, and Link to the Past. So obviously we got the big three on launch. We're missing things like Donkey Kong Country, obviously. We need to get some RPGs in there, like Final Fantasy or a Dragon Quest or a Chrono Trigger. Those would all be great to have. I don't know if we'll get those. Super Puyo Puyo 2 has never been localized, so they threw that in there. It's just the Japanese version, even in the English app, so like, you don't need to know Japanese to play it, but if you know your hiragana katakana, it'll make it easier to navigate the menus. But you can play Puyo Puyo for the first time, the SNES version here. So it's a really cool thing. You can also do online multiplayer. I think it's a pretty great start, and I hope they update these regularly and get things like the Donkey Kong Country trilogy on there. I hope we can get some other of, at least, you know, the first-party Nintendo games, like Mario RPG would be an obvious one that they should also throw on there. I would love to see Mario All-Stars at some point. Would be really cool. But I'm happy to have these. You can finally turn off the annoying fucking menu bar that was at the bottom of the NES app. You can get rid of that. The games look great. The rewind feature is really easy to use. I like that. And I am definitely going to be playing A Link to the Past as soon as I have time in advance of Link's Awakening. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would... I was going to say, I would recommend playing A Link to the Past. And I just did. And I'm a little
upset.
Just
rebought the game on 3DS,
yeah, I just bought the game on 3DS. It was only like $7, but still. I wanted to play it on Switch, and it wasn't there. But now it is, so... Do I play it again before Link's... what's it called? Link's Awakening?
Link's Awakening, yeah. A Link to the Awakening. I think the way to look at this, Thomas, is you sacrificed your $7.99 to create the irony push that would make them finally put SNES on Switch. You are the person who had to buy A Link to the Past right before it launched. Someone always had to.
You are here. Welcome.
Yeah. Everybody welcome. But yeah, they told us SNES games were going to be on Switch way back when the Switch was unveiled 3 years ago. It's finally here. We can all rejoice. It's a little late, but hey, they're here. It's a good collection. And when you add in like the Capcom collections for Contra and Castlevania and Mega Man.
Doom 64.
Nintendo 64 is a Nintendo 64 game, yeah. The original Doom was on SNES at some point. SNES was not the good way to play it, but it was on there. But my point is, there's now quite a good collection of SNES games on here. Ones that are free with Nintendo Switch Online, ones that you have to pay for in collections. There's a lot of good stuff on Switch that if you like your Super NES, so there you go.
I wanted to say, I do hope that at some point they do add Nintendo 64 to Nintendo Switch Online. And then I
thought you were going to say, I really hope they add the SNES version of Doom on the SNES app, just to like...
Is that the one with no music?
No, the no music one is the Atari Jaguar.
Mm.
The SNES one has really good music. Like, it's got, at the time, I think it had the most accurate music to the PC original. It just, the graphics are shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if I want to play...
SNES had the best sound chip. Yes.
Right.
All right. So let's move on. Tetris 99 got some updates. It got a big 2.0 update that added Invictus mode, where you have to have won Tetris 99 before to play Invictus mode. So it's sort of like, obviously, people who play that are going to be a little better, or at least a little luckier. They added a new additional daily challenge board, which gets you little tickets, and those tickets can be redeemed for new themes. They've added, because we had four new themes over the last year from different events they did, like the Fire Emblem event, the Game Boy Anniversary event, the Splatoon 2 event, but now there are a bunch of new themes that you can unlock with the tickets that you get by playing the game. The second wave of paid DLC came out, which adds 2-player share battle, 8-player local multiplayer. And yeah, I have played some of this update because I play Tetris 99 probably once a day. I really like Tetris 99. And the updates for this version are really good. That Invictus mode is really cool. I love the challenge mode. I have not gotten enough tickets yet to buy a new theme, because you only get one ticket per challenge, and there's only two challenges a day if you don't have the DLC. I have not paid for the DLC yet. If you have the DLC, there are more. There's more modes, obviously, so there's more challenges they give you. But yeah, I love Tetris 99. If you get the DLC, it's only $10, and I probably should get it at some point, because I've definitely gotten at least $10 worth of enjoyment out of Tetris 99. It's an awesome game.
Yeah, I haven't played the new DLC yet, or the new modes. I'm one of those people who got lucky when I won Tetris 99. So yeah. I'm a little afraid to actually try Invictus mode, but maybe I will, and I'll let you know how it goes.
I've done it once, and I got to place, I think I was in the 30s somewhere. I got past rank 40, so I felt pretty good for my first time. Because it's also, it starts you faster, it starts you at a higher level.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention this earlier. I missed it on the outline, but kind of related to that, there is a free-to-play Kirby game on the Switch now. It's called Team Kirby Clash. It's basically, it's clearly like running in the same engine as Kirby Star Allies. It's four Kirbys. It's a co-op thing. It's an online co-op game. It has already launched. It boasts that it has over 100 quests. Each Kirby has a job. They have different abilities, a lot of them taken from Star Allies. I played around with it a little bit. There's clearly some kind of tutorial mission you have to do before you can get online, and I have not sunk in the time to do that yet. But it seems similar to all the free-to-play Kirby games they were doing on 3DS a couple of years ago. So I'm not sure if it's good or not, but it is another like online thing they've added for online members. Let's see. They also showed off the new Mario and Sonic at the Tokyo Olympic Games. You excited for that, Thomas?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be in Japan right before the Tokyo Olympic Games.
Nice. But you're probably leaving before they happen, right?
I think so, yeah. And, yeah, Tokyo's going to be a mess. Everyone here is already dreading it. But, yeah.
It's going to be crazy. One fun thing they did reveal in this little trailer was that the story mode is about Sonic and Mario getting sucked into and having to escape from a video game about the 1964 Tokyo Olympics, which I think is very clever. But I don't know. The only Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games I've played is the very first one, which, that was a Wii game, right?
Yeah, I remember, because the controls were terrible.
Yes. And that was like, novel at the time, because it was like, oh my god, Mario and Sonic teaming up. They've now done, like, 60 of these fucking games, and they all look pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right, they then talked about Daemon X Machina, which got a second demo called the Prologue Demo, which is, because they've already had a demo that came out way back before E3, and this new demo is basically just the start of the game. So you start playing from the beginning of Daemon X Machina, your progress carries over into the full game. The full game is still coming out September 13th. I did not like that first demo. It was a mecha game where it felt like your mechs were completely weightless, and it just, there was kind of nothing to it. It looked nice, but it was not fun to play. I might check this out, see if it's gotten any better, because I like mechs, as you know, if you've been listening to Mobile or Weekly Suit Gundam. But so I hope this has improved since last time we saw it.
Yeah, I played the demo too, and seems interesting. It didn't really grab me, so I'm not really looking forward to it. But you know, if it gets good reviews, maybe I'll try it.
Yeah, a very exciting announcement is that Star Wars Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Outcast, is coming to Switch. And this is actually one place where I would love Sean to be here, because he has played the Jedi Knight games, and I forget if this is the one he loves, or if he loves both of them, or what it is, but this is one of the Kyle Katarn games. Kyle Katarn's a cool character. This was a very nice surprise. It's clearly like the original PS2 graphics, but it is the full single-player campaign. They're not doing the multiplayer, but that's coming really soon. It's coming September 24th, and after the Direct, they announced that Star Wars Jedi Knight 1 will be coming early next year. And that one will have the multiplayer with it. So both Jedi Knight games are coming. They're coming like in reverse order. But I know those are both pretty beloved Star Wars games. And I think that's cool that they're coming to Switch. I have never played these before. I am happy to have more good Star Wars games. And I think the reason they're doing these is because the new game that's coming out this year from Respawn, Jedi Fallen Order, definitely has a lot of Jedi Knight influences to it. So that seems cool.
Yeah. I'm hoping that if they're going to release more old Star Wars games with multiplayer, they release the original Star Wars Battlefront 2 with its multiplayer on Switch.
I think they will never do that, because they would be too ashamed to put out a good Battlefield 2, or whatever it's called, Battlefront. Fuck, God damn it. I make this mistake every time.
EA will do anything for money, Jonathan.
Yes, they will. They showed off more of Witcher 3. We've already talked about that. We already know that's coming. Looks good. Another port announcement that made me very excited is the Assassin's Creed Rebel Collection. They did Assassin's Creed 3 remastered earlier this year on Switch. Kind of got mixed reviews because of the technical performance, but I have high hopes for this one because it's my favorite Assassin's Creed game. It's Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, which is, I think, one of the best games of the generation. It is certainly one of the most unique in terms of all the sailing and pirate stuff. I fucking love it. And Assassin's Creed 4 got a direct sequel called Assassin's Creed Rogue, but that was the year that Assassin's Creed Unity came out, and Unity was the one that was on Xbox One, PS4, and Rogue was a PS3, Xbox 360 exclusive, so no one really played it. I missed it, even though I love Assassin's Creed 4. I was already on the PS4, so I never played it. AC Rogue did get a re-release on the PS4 and Xbox One, I think, last year, but I didn't play it just because it had been so long. But now they are coming in one collection. It's December 4th, the Assassin's Creed Rebel Collection. You will get both sides of the Assassin's Creed 4 story, and I am super excited for that. Assassin's Creed 4 is an underplayed game. It's so great. I'm curious to see how it runs and everything on Switch, because it's a gorgeous game on the PS4, but obviously, it was on everything. It was on 360, it was on PS3, it was on Xbox One. The Xbox One version is sort of an in-between version. The PS4 looks really good. I have never seen the 360 or PS3 versions. This will probably be closer to that, but who knows? The Switch can do a lot of good stuff. And, you know, if I can just sail around and hear my sea shanties on the go, I am happy, because there are some good sea shanties in Assassin's Creed 4.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed 4 is one of those games that I bought on Steam for like $3 years ago and just never played. So since it's coming out in December, maybe I'll have time to actually play it. But it seems like Switch would be a nice way to play it. So I'm looking forward to it.
So then they did a big reel of upcoming games. They did Just Dance 2020, Grid Autosport, Farming Simulator 20, Ni No Kuni Remastered, NBA 2K20, Call of Cthulhu, Vampire, and kind of a surprise announcement, Devil May Cry 2. Devil May Cry 1 came out on Switch around E3, so now they're doing 2, so clearly they are going to bring all the Devil May Cries that they can over. I assume they'll do at least the first 3. Devil May Cry 4 was a PS3 game, so we'll see if they can do that. The most recent one is Devil May Cry 5, which is a PS4 game, so probably not, but who knows? They're getting the Devil May Cries out. I know Sean likes those games. Ni No Kuni Remastered. I have to know who at that studio thought it was a good idea to put that game out when they're putting it out, because it's launching September 20th, the same day as Link's Awakening, and 1 week before Dragon Quest. They really don't want anyone to play Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, I want to play that game so badly, because it's Joe Hisaishi. Can't get better than that, and there's
all the Studio Ghibli connections.
Yeah, there's just like no fucking time whenever they put the game out. It's just the worst timing.
Yeah, every time, like, because I think Ni No Kuni 2, when that came out, I want to say that came out like the month of Breath of the Wild, which was also the month of Horizon Zero Dawn on PS4, which was also the month of Persona 5. And it was just like, nobody played it. It got no attention because they're bad. They are holistically bad at putting those games out in good time frames.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Shinya Takahashi was back up, and he talked all about Animal Crossing New Horizons. They did a little video covering some old stuff and some new stuff. Tom Nook talked to us about his Deserted Island getaway package. They showed off the island. They showed off item crafting. You can now place furniture anywhere on the island, including outside. You could not do that before. They showed scenery changing with the time and weather. They showed some wind. They showed some time of day and season stuff, which determines your creatures that you can catch. There is now local multiplayer, with you can play 4 people on one system, or on local wireless or online, you can have 8 players in one visit, and it's all coming March 20th, 2020. This looked really good, but I will admit I kind of zoned out, because it's just like, I will play the new Animal Crossing. I don't really care what's in it. I kind of just want to discover it for myself. They certainly showed off a lot here. Animal Crossing is not a game that demos particularly well because it is so slow-paced. But you're a big Animal Crossing fan, even more than I am, Thomas. What do you think about this?
I love Animal Crossing. I'm so excited. I was really excited about Tom Nook's new Hawaiian shirt. And I like that they're adding in some crafting elements. I think You know, that's sort of a nice modern way to get Animal Crossing a little more interesting. Yeah, I'm really excited to play it. I also like I enjoyed watching the video, but I'm not going to go out of my way to look up more things about it because I know I'm going to play it. So, yeah, it's, you know, coming out in March. That'll be a nice time. The only thing that could potentially conflict with that is Persona 5 Royal might come out sometime in the spring. In which case, Animal Crossing will take the back burner. But otherwise, I played the 3DS version. What was it? New Leaf. Animal Crossing New Leaf. I played that game so much. That was like, seems like it was so long ago now, but I'm
It
excited.
was. That game was 2013. It'll have been 7 years.
Jeez.
Animal Crossing's been on a long break.
Yeah, well, skipped Wii U, I guess, so.
Well, there was Amiibo Festival on Wii U, but
So it skipped Wii U.
yes. Anyway, I think it will also be exciting, Thomas, for you being in Japan when this comes out, because I want a full report
Oh,
on what the people of Japan are like with Animal Crossing.
people fucking love the mobile game. Like,
Yeah.
everyone plays that game here. And I started
Yep,
playing
that's
it, and
why they made it.
I'm not a huge fan of it. Just, I mean, it seems fun, but I think I sort of started like too late for it to be interesting, but everyone here plays it.
That's crazy. All right, and then Takahashi was back up to say, "We've had fun, but next will be our last announcement of the day." And I think everyone was waiting for, like, what's the big surprise? What's our big final, and one more thing announcement? And some people were excited. We got Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition. They showed off. So, Xenoblade Chronicles is the Wii game from 2010, I want to say, that was later ported to the new 3DS as Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, I think. Obviously, there have been two sequels to that game, Xenoblade Chronicles X on Wii U and Xenoblade Chronicles 2 on the Nintendo Switch. It's like Final Fantasy. None of these have any like story crossover. But this is a beloved game. The music was very nice, very beautiful music there. The graphics looked really nice. If you look at the comparison videos, like, this is very clearly more on the side of like a remake than a graphical overhaul. Like, it's a really, really beautiful redo of the game. And it looked cool. Someone on Twitter let me know, I had not known this, that Jenna Coleman from Doctor Who is one of the main characters in this game, because Xenoblade Chronicles famously was dubbed entirely in England. There was going to be a like American English dub, but then they ran out of money, so they just stuck with the British English dub. And I guess Jenna Coleman, this was pre-Doctor Who, so she did voice work. So that made me kind of laugh and makes me excited to maybe finally check out this game. But yeah, there's going to be a definitive edition of Xenoblade Chronicles. No, more power to everyone who loves Xenoblade Chronicles. That's awesome. It just feels like this maybe should have not been your big, like, we've got one more thing. It's a game from 2010 that's been re-released before. That was a little odd to me. I would have liked maybe something else, but this is by all accounts a very good game. So there you go.
Yeah, I couldn't even remember if Xenoblade Chronicles was the first one in the franchise.
Well, it
So,
kind of is and it kind of isn't. There's a
yeah.
whole Xenogears series that it sort of grew out of, but again, they're all separate games, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm not too interested. It seems like a good game, but it's like at this point there's just too much to play.
There's too many RPGs. There's a lot of RPGs on Switch, which is good. You can
Yeah.
never have too many RPGs.
But if
You
you
just
like
have too many to
Xenoblade,
play.
then, you know, good for you. You'll have fun.
Yeah, I'm surprised they are not doing Xenoblade Chronicles X yet. I know people have wanted that a lot. Like, that's kind of like basically after today, the big holdouts from the Wii U are Xenoblade Chronicles X, Mario 3D World, Pikmin 3, and the two Legend of Zelda remakes, Wind Waker and Twilight Princess. Other than that, we've got every big Wii U exclusive. So we're getting very close, and most of those I'm pretty sure are coming. Pikmin 3, I don't know because I never know what their plans are with Pikmin. But yeah, that was the Nintendo Direct. That's everything they showed. Then Sakurai was up and did some stuff about Banjo-Kazooie. We already talked about that. But that was it for the Nintendo Direct. It was a lot of fun. And we've all got a lot to play now. September is particularly packed. And I did hear an interesting theory on this. Thomas, I don't know if you can fill us in on the news on this, but apparently there is a new sales tax going into effect in Japan October
Yes.
1st.
So the consumption tax, as it's called here, is going from 8% to 10%, and everyone is losing their minds about it. People are stocking up on necessities before the tax comes in, making big purchases like cars before the tax happens. It is only 2%, but seriously, everyone is like upset and freaked out about it.
Well, that's interesting because I had not heard about this, but I'm glad you told us that because some people's theory is that Nintendo's September is so ridiculously packed because they want people buying games before the tax, which they have no control over, comes into play in October.
Well, people probably will, like I said, like one of my coworkers bought a car because they wanted to do it before the tax hike went up. A couple of the students paid for extra lessons ahead of time before the tax goes into effect. So people are
Wow.
really concerned about it, actually.
That also explains why the Switch Lite is launching in September instead of like with Pokemon, which I think is where a lot of people expected it to launch, was with Pokemon Sword and Shield. There is even a Pokemon Special Edition, but they're launching it September 20th. A console, even as one as, cheap as the Switch Lite is, I guess, a big purchase. So it makes sense to get that out there before the consumption tax comes in. So that's crazy.
Yeah. And when does it come into effect exactly? I guess it's October, but yeah, payday for everyone in Japan is always the 25th of the month. So probably, the last couple days of the month, Nintendo will do a lot of business here.
Interesting. Well, you can keep us appraised of that, Thomas. I think that is it for today. We have gone through the Nintendo Direct, given you a little hour of content. Like I said, you are also going to be getting a new Weekly Suit Gundam tomorrow. That is coming out September 10th. That is our episode on Char's Counterattack. And we'll have more throughout the rest of the month. Hopefully next week, Sean will be back. We'll do actual episode 299. I do not do numbered episodes if Sean is not here because his name is in the title. My name's in the title. It's got to be both of us. But this is episode 298.5. This is good enough for an in-between episode. It can be a half episode if half of us are here. And then Thomas, you're a 0.0, I guess.
Point zero, Jonathan, point zero is zero. You're saying I'm worthless.
I didn't mean it that way, but now this is awkward and I feel like I have to extricate myself from this. I'm sorry, but thank you for being here, Thomas. Do you want to tell the people where they can find you and your stuff?
Yes, actually, I am a composer, so if you want to listen to my music, you can go to thomaslack.com, and you can find links to all of my music.
Yes, you've got some very good stuff up, including some new stuff you just posted, something you wrote while in Japan. So I would recommend people go listen to that if they want to hear some cool music. And yeah, thank you for being here, Thomas. I do not think you're worthless. My mouth just got ahead of my brain. And yeah, this was fun. This is our first podcast done across the Pacific Ocean.
Yes,
I got it right this
Pacific.
time.
Thank you.
Yes. And do you want to close with maybe one other Japanese fun fact for us, Thomas?
Let's see, what else is there that's fun about Japan? I don't know.